Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Big Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. A little under the weather, so I'm counting on Matt Moore to carry the majority of this podcast. Matt, how's it going?
I will be the Kobe for you today.
I will be the Dwight. I'm gonna complain that I didn't get to talk enough afterwards, and then I'm going to say, look, I've podcasted with people that nobody wanted before.
We talked about that yesterday a little bit, or the other day, and for your fantastic and far superior to our podcast performance yesterday with Jim Peterson.
You know what the key was? Letting him talk the whole time.
As long as you're not involved.
Yeah, as long as I'm not involved, he's fantastic.
we said it could be that he was talking about how they were underdogs.
Right.
And he came out last night and said that's what happened. And, of course, did the media's twist in it thing, which it would be better. Again, if you're in the situation, the better thing to do is to say, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean for it to come off that way.
Right.
Allow me to say how much that's not what I meant. I'll definitely text those guys and let them know, too.
Right.
I'm really sorry about that.
Right.
You do that, and you look like, oh, what a stand-up guy.
Exactly.
Eddie Izzard has this piece in one of his stand-up specials about how when you become an adult, that's like something attractive about you, is when you're willing to apologize for things like, oh, I'm sorry, is that your lamp? I'm very sorry. And that's why I feel like here, like, if you're willing to apologize as a professional athlete for minor stuff,
right,
it goes a really long way.
I mean, Jameer's comment was great. Basically saying, you know, when is he going to be a man and take responsibility? And then I think J.J. Redick said basically the same thing.
Yeah, J.J. was like, I'd be more surprised if Dwight took responsibility.
Right. Rashard Lewis seemed pretty irked by it. He said it was disrespectful, and it was. I mean, whether it's correct or not, it's just so unnecessary and disrespectful, which is what we should expect from Dwight at this point. I mean, that's the track record he's shown for 2 years, but still, it's just, you're kind of amazed that it was said.
It was more of a it's a bad turn of phrase, which he's really bad at those. He's had several.
You're right.
The I got some bad advice last year. I mean, he just, and I've said this 100 times, I'm going to keep saying it, he's just got to shut up. He's just got to stop talking. When they say, hey, would you do this interview for us? The answer is no. And if they say, you know, you're a star in this town, it's your responsibility, because I would do the same thing. I get mad when players in Denver don't talk. The response is, every time I say something right now, I put my own foot in my mouth. So
right.
I'm not going to talk for a while in the hopes that I can get my giant foot out of my mouth.
Even if he said the exact words of Dwight Howard doesn't do interviews anymore, that would come off better than the things he's saying.
Yes. More third person, less talking. That's
right.
That's a good approach. So you're at a game last night,
yeah.
Sick and working your way through it.
It was fun. It was a fun game, too. Well, the end was fun. Rubio came in, took over the last, I don't know, 6-7 minutes, and kind of willed them to a victory with his defense and his passing.
I did not catch it because 28 – if I were to say that every team in the NBA played last night, that would not be that much of an exaggeration.
No, it's pretty close, 28 out of the 30.
It was absurd. It's just one of those nights, and I just kind of hung on for the ride. It was one where I was like, okay. But in the beginning, you know, the first 3 games were pretty terrible, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stick with Pacers – Celtics. That's like the game I'm just going to stick with, and we're going to go with that because that's two playoff teams. So I'm going to hang with that one for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was a good game, and the final play that Doc drew up was just a
beautiful. Oh, it's fantastic. It's using KG's skills so perfectly.
I don't understand. The Celtics passed it 4 times in the final 7 seconds of their possession. How can they not turn the ball over? Because that's the only reason.
And,
that's why you always get a hero ball, is because otherwise you'll turn the ball over instantly. It's almost
and
like,
against the best defensive team in the league.
It's almost like if you execute and know what the hell you're doing, you can create, looks like, a Jeff Green layup.
That doesn't sound right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a defensive breakdown by Indiana. It doesn't have many, but it just goes to show you there's value in that. It's like,
well,
there's value in
what's
run
funny,
a damn play.
What's funny is between that and between LeBron's winner, there was no hero ball shot. It was a fantastic set in which Boston passes the ball around and KG finds Jeff Green underneath. And then the Miami one was LeBron has an ISO, and instead of like taking a step back jumper, he just goes right to the basket. It's like those are the two things you want in crunch time, right? Either get to the basket or run a play that gets somebody to the basket, and instead of just the step back 22 footer.
The LeBron one was really crazy because he went into that dribble that if you look at it from the outside, I think it looks completely different if you're up close to him. But from the outside, it's the same dribble. I've seen him take the pull-up three a million times.
Yeah. Well, and he's going left there. And he
missed two and two threes. And so I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no.
And he always takes that jumper going left.
Yeah. And then he kind of started to probe dribble. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, nope. Shoot. And
yeah.
And it's over. And then meanwhile, while I'm watching Boston, Indiana, I was like, oh, the other games aren't really close. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden, Kyrie Irving goes into Kyrie mode.
Yeah.
And blasts past Utah, who's just – Utah, they need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting.
Well, I mean, they don't have Al Jefferson right now, right? He is the best player. I'm not saying that should make all the difference, but that does make a difference.
They're starting Favors and benching Millsap, which is weird, Favors playing really well, and Millsap hasn't had a great year. I think that Millsap being in kind of the constant tug of war is, I don't think it's been good for him.
Right.
Most of that was just Kyrie. They just keep Utah, but it really does have to come to Jesus and be like, we got to beat teams like Cleveland. We can't. They got a game and a half right now on LA.
Yeah.
And they got to buckle down and get this thing taken care of because, and you mentioned this morning on Twitter that Hornets were just as much – were more responsible for that Lakers comeback.
Oh, my God.
Than the Lakers. If they'd been running the other direction, like they literally let him get a breakaway dunk when they were down two.
They forgot which basket they're defending. Yeah. That's the only explanation. Why would you guard against a stack like that in the backcourt? That makes no sense. How do you not have one guy back?
That's
some of the worst coaching and some of the worst like play recognition I've ever seen. And I'm talking about even when I like was coaching JV basketball. Like that was just horrendous.
I'm a big Monty Williams defender, and the only thing I can think there is that this is honestly a problem for him, that there's a lot of times when he assumes the guys know things and they just don't. Because not only does he have a young roster, he's got a young, inexperienced, low knowledge base roster. That's basic stuff though. I mean, they just melted down.
Yeah.
And Kobe was fantastic. There are no words. I don't even. It's not that I'm not trying to give him credit. I don't know what to say about how awesome he is. Like he's just been. I have zero complaints about how Kobe Bryant's played this year.
Not just on that breakaway, but throughout the fourth quarter, the defense was really bad. I mean, there's that play where they leave Jody Meeks wide open on the left side of the floor, which was a huge breakdown, a huge miscommunication, but. Even though the defense was so bad, Kobe was absurd.
Yeah.
Like, that's just – and I was
had a monster block like
– Yeah, that was a big block on I think it was Robin Lopez who went up for a dunk, right?
Yep.
And I was actually talking about this with Britt Robson last night. And it's – the way the Lakers are, like, I think Kobe has to be top three maybe. Yeah, I think he's behind Durant and LeBron in MVP voting simply because – yes, his defense has been bad this year, but if he even plays like he did last year, which wasn't bad by any means, but if he plays like he did last year, this team is not even close to the playoffs right now. Like, he has just been so spectacular on offense, and there are a lot of problems with his game this year in terms of he's had some bad shooting nights. He's not playing really great defense, but he's the guy keeping them in the playoff hunt. Even with the star-studded team that we all thought was going to have a great season, even though they have that roster, it clearly has not worked except for when he goes Kobe mode. I mean, it's just really impressive.
I still like Paul a little bit above him because of the impact that Paul's had, but really the top...
In the conversation, though, I mean, if someone had Kobe third, would it really be that egregious?
No, I don't. I honestly don't think that there's. I don't think there's any problem as long as you have LeBron and KD 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with any order of LeBron, KD, Kobe, Chris Paul, Carmelo, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker. Any of those that you want to put.
Yeah,
in that
that's
order.
That's your seven there, right?
Yeah. You know, and I. Personally, I want to put Russell Westbrook in there.
Yeah. He's been really good.
But nobody's on that train with me. I said last year, I was like, he really needs to be more in consideration for this.
Yeah. I think he's kind of in that. I would put Parker above him, but I think he's kind of in that Tim Duncan range.
Yeah, I would agree. I would put him in the same kind of thing. Yeah. If we were to do my radical MVP idea, which I unleashed on Monday, of breaking the award into three components, I would say Kobe would be like a definite, like he'd be top three for offensive player of the year, and he'd be top three for most impactful.
Yeah, so. For sure.
That
was really good, by the way. I like that.
Oh, thanks. I was wondering, because it's one where there's pretty much two reactions for it. It's either, oh, that's like a really good idea, that's really interesting, or that is the stupidest damn thing I have ever heard. And there's like very little in between.
No, so I like
versus different writers. I'm like, what do you think of this?
Yeah, no, I like breaking it up like that, because it is something where all everyone does, and even the people that vote on it, they complain about how it's such an ambiguous award. Well, if you break it down into more meaningful things and more direct things, it's easier to really, like, I think it'd be easier to come to a consensus even adding more awards like that, because it's, yeah, this guy's probably not as valuable, but look at the impact he has on the court.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a pretty smart way of going about it.
Well, and the big thing I wanted to do was I wanted to leave it open for debate.
Yeah.
Because the big problem I have is our community of like online guys, they always are in pursuit of let's find an objective answer, and it's usually based off of metrics. And I'm like, nobody wants that. That's not fun. Like the MVP award should be a little bit fun.
Story,
yes, it does impact Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But story does matter.
I wanted a way, and I talked about it with the most impactful thing, where I wanted a way for it to be like, look, we have a way that we can recognize Derrick Rose for his accomplishment.
Yeah.
Without necessarily, you know, putting him in that class of players. And the other thing is, I want to be able to recognize great seasons and lift him up in terms of like, this is a fantastic season. You know, he shared a third of the trifecta, without necessarily saying like he was an all-time player. Because the biggest problem with it is, like, if I were a voter under the system, I would vote for LeBron for Offensive Player of the Year because of his assist percentage. And I talked a lot about that during my Offensive Player of the Year baseline awards column a couple weeks ago. I'd vote for him for most impactful for what he does all over the court. And because he's got two of the three, I would tend to be like, maybe I should vote for him for Defensive Player of the Year because I really want him to win the MVP. But it's hard to really argue that he's the best defensive player in the league.
Right.
So, what else happened last night? Jesus. Detroit tied the game, and then New York finished it out. Good for them. Good win. Atlanta took care of business against Philadelphia, which is good to see because Atlanta was getting off that road trip, and I was worried they were going to have another meltdown.
What happened? I mean, I know you're going to say Chaos Engine, but Portland-Memphis. That's close.
It was like a reverse Chaos Engine. Portland blasted them in the first quarter. They won that first quarter 26-18. And 24-20 in the second, they dominated them, and I was like, well, Memphis chose a bad team for them to not show up against. Like, they just lay down and died.
Right.
And then,
I mean, Memphis, I know it's no Zebo, but still.
And then Memphis in the third quarter outscores them 27-17. And I mean, Memphis, when they put the bricks to you with the defense, they can lock down 80% of teams.
Yeah.
You know, they have these mental lapses, but I am as a Memphis guy, I'm pretty pleased with the fact that they were able to be like, no, okay, we're not losing to this team. This is not happening. We're in a playoff race. Let's stop this.
Right.
You know, there are those tiers of teams and teams that can do that. I really appreciate. Like, that's one thing. That's why Denver kind of teeters in and out. Is Denver doesn't have that gear. It's like if things aren't going well, they kind of sputter. So, yeah. Except about the Lakers game, Houston Dallas is fantastic. That's one I got to rewatch today. It was a really fun game, back and forth in the fourth quarter. Harden, Mayo came up huge in the fourth quarter.
Sean Marion had a great game.
Yeah, Sean Marion's had a great season.
Yeah.
He's one where I know everyone talks about the age and the impact and the salary. He's still one where if I'm one of those teams that's in a not contender but near contender status, and I'm looking for a small forward, someone like Golden State, I don't understand why you're not trying to pry Sean Marion out. I know the price is high.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that I would still want on my team.
He's getting to the point where he's just putting together all these incredible seasons in what is the twilight of his career and what should be the twilight of his career. And it's going to get to the point where, like, you really do have to consider him for Hall of Fame at some point. If he puts another two or three seasons like this together, he's been really good for a decade.
I don't remember the benchmarks, but he's going to wind up as one of, like, 10 players that have, like, X number of points, X number of rebounds, X number of assists, X number of steals. Like, he's in a very elite class of the overall production that he did. He was the second best player to third best player on multiple Western Conference Final contender teams. Won a championship as primary defender. I think he's got a really good case for it. I don't think he'll make it because of the way because honestly, the Hall of Fame is so backed up with guys that got to get in.
Yeah, but I just like the fact that it's a conversation. Like, it kind of dawned on me when I was checking out the highlights of last night's Dallas game before I get a chance to watch it. It was like, it just dawned on me. I was like, wow, Marion has really put together a great decade of basketball.
And, Houston had a lot of chances to win that game, and really it just came down to, like, things didn't go their way. It wasn't even necessarily a failure of execution. It was just, like, little things didn't go their way.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Chandler Parsons is having a hell of a year. He's really good offensively. I'm excited to see what this team does in the future. There's a lot of guys. I was talking to somebody yesterday about their potential free agents and looking at some of the guys that they could add. And if they had a wing defender and if Moody Hunis develops into a post player, they've got a lot of potential there to be really good over the next couple of years.
Definitely.
If they get that next, like, star player, it's going to be – I really like where the Rockets are headed.
Again. Yeah.
So, Toronto took care of business against Phoenix. Congratulations. Here's a cookie.
Wait, do you have a little animosity there?
Not at all. It's just funny to me because I just took a lot of grief for the Raptors are going to make the playoffs. And the Grizzlies are terrible. And just, oh, no, wait, that's right.
Yeah, and then there was that little, just a little minor 6-7 game losing streak, whatever it was.
Right, but God, Phoenix is bad.
Oh, they're just pathetic.
It's just bad all over. Chicago-San Antonio was a really competitive game for a while, and then San Antonio, without Tony Parker, just out-executed him. Did their thing. You know,
hey,
Bulls can't score, but...
I've said it for years. You give Corey Joseph 24 minutes. You give yourself a win.
You know, and I'm not... These kind of games to me aren't proof that Parker's not the MVP, and that's what a lot of people are going to say. It's... I choose to instead simply say this may be good evidence in terms of the gap between Parker and the top candidates, but Parker is able to run the system better than anybody else, and that has a lot of value.
And that's just a stupid argument to make when a guy misses a game and a team doesn't miss a beat. Like, he's not that valuable. Shut up.
Well, it's like
that's so myopic and it doesn't factor in the flow of the season. I mean, there is a high and low that a team can catch even without their best player.
Boston.
Yeah.
You know. And I mean, I think a large I will say this. I appreciate the fact that the Spurs are still winning because it would be very easy for Duncan and Ginobili to be like, look, I'm not going to give anymore.
Right.
I'm saving it. But instead, they're very much like, they're very much like, well, no, like, Tony's out. We got to step up. And so you've seen Ginobili have this really string of really strong games. I feel bad because Spurs fans are like, oh, man, Manu's getting back. So now we're going to have Tony and Manu and Tim and everything's going to be awesome. And I'm like, no. Just slow down. Ginobili can't give you this every single night for the next 3 months. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Just you can get him every couple games and that might be enough to win you a title. But let's not start freaking out just yet. You need to put these things in context. But I mean, look at their overall contribution. Just all their guys chipped in.
That's one of those team wins.
The Bulls just woof. Their offense is just so woof. So much woof there.
Which is surprising, considering they started Bellinelli and Robinson together. I mean, I can't see how that would go wrong.
You just don't understand. Bulls fans are still blaming Kirk Heinrich for this. He's not playing. And they still think this is Kirk Heinrich's fault. I don't understand.
And I know I'm going to get, Bellinelli had 21-7. Yeah, he still sucks, all right?
I'm in this weird thing where, like, I'm trying not to get into the argument because I've been defending Kirk Heinrich for years. I'm just like, what? I'm that guy in that video. Leave Kirk Heinrich alone. He's a game managing point guard that plays good defense. Leave him alone. Clippers in Milwaukee was a close fun one.
Blake had himself a game.
What?
Blake had himself a game.
Blake had himself a game, and you know, he did most of that damage pretty early on. And then they took the lead, and Jamal Crawford between the legs, alley-oop.
Oh, he's so fun. I don't get.
A Lakers fan last night was like, "Isn't it a travel?" Because I'm like, "Stop!"
Oh my god,
just stop. The game was already over. They'd already pulled away. It was like their last highlight play.
Yeah.
It was Jamal Crawford trying to do something fun. That's a crazy highlight. Let it go.
Not everything has to be qualified. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. But yeah, Blake was really great. You know, his passing, his whip pass out of the post doesn't really get enough credit.
No, it's really good.
If you defend the top of the key, you can tip it or intercept it a lot of the time, but. I'm always of the opinion, I just keep thinking, man, how good's he going to be in 2 years? You know, he's already added this much to his game. How good's he going to be in 2 years when he tweaks and refines these things? You know, Griffin's going to have a hell of a career if he stays healthy.
Yeah. I think
State took care of Sacramento with they needed a big Klay Thompson three to pull ahead late. Again, Sacramento plays pretty well.
That's basically a home game.
They're in a good place right now.
It's basically a home game. They're about an hour and a half away.
Right. So as long as they're... Is it based off of distance for you?
It's just distance.
So if they played in China, they would score 0 points.
Anything over a bus ride.
Anything over a bus ride.
Yeah.
Just to talk about Orlando, Miami a little
I wonder
more.
If the Maloofs made the players take cabs from Sacramento to Oakland and then wouldn't reimburse them. Like, oh, you didn't fill out the paperwork correctly. Yeah, sorry, we can't do it.
Oh, we don't reimburse pedicabs. I'm sorry.
Right.
But you told us we had to take a pedicab. Well, I'm sorry. That's just the corporate policy. You said we had to take a pedicab and we had to drive it.
By the way, you owe us for this conversation. That's a fine. That's a $25,000 fine. It's funny because they're poor.
I know that. Let's do this. Nikola Vucevic can be a good young player who's getting better and still not any sort of star whatsoever and have a lot more to prove, but could still have had a really good season and shown a lot of really good things.
Sure.
Because I tell you, man, 25-21 last night, and it wasn't him filling up the stat with empty stats. It was – he was kicking some ass.
Yeah, I mean he's a fine young player. If you want to dub him to be the next Orlando star and give him a max contract, that's hilarious. Go for it. He's a fine young player. He's not an all-star in the making yet. He might get to that point, but like guys have big games.
Somebody's gonna have a big game on a bad team.
Right.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
But I will say I like Vucevic. I like Vucevic, Harkless, Tobias Harris. I really like that trio.
Now, sure. As they're rebuilding. I don't like that going forward.
I don't like it as in terms of like, oh, we're going to be ready to make the playoffs in 2 years. You need the guy. But, you know, I like them as a set of young assets to kind of build going forward.
I like them as a set of young assets to move one or two of those guys down the road for a very good veteran.
Okay. 25-21, you know, and this is it'd be one thing if it was like his only time, but he's, with him consistently popping the kind of rebounding numbers that he does, I have to give him credit, because otherwise it's hypocritical for me to be like, oh, well, Kevin Love did this, and then to ignore the fact of what Vucevic is doing in terms of rebounds and production. Like, it's not, he's not Kevin Love, but I still have to give him credit for it.
No, he's a good rebounder. I will say that. Like, he's a good rebounder. He's not – he gets a lot of, like, cleanup points. He doesn't get anything where they're, like, running it through him.
True. You can make the argument that Pekovic could be putting up the same numbers if he was there.
Oh, God, yeah. So. If he had any kind of shooters around him to space the floor.
Right. I've been thinking a lot about
basically, grab yourself a center with a first name Nikola.
Right.
That's the one to go.
So we have two games tonight.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to head on into the Mile High City to catch one of them. But the big game tonight, I think, is...
God, that's a 8:30 game for you. You're never getting home.
I'm never getting home. Here's the worst part. I've got a radio thing in Denver at 11. And I'll be out of that by noon, and then I don't have anything to do until 7 o'clock.
You really need to go watch two movies.
I'm going to go work on the Scott Brooks thing so I can have it done by June.
In a movie theater. Work on it in a movie theater. Nobody will be there.
It'd be pretty great. It's like grading papers, only like me transcribing. here's the problem with the movies is that it's not just all of them. I could go see a bad movie. It's that I have very like there's no motivation for me to go see it. And it's like it's Thursday. It's like I'm all the Oz movie's almost out, but not quite. I can't even go see that. I did not go see Die Hard the other day. I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes numbers on it, and I was just like,
How does that not make you want to see it?
I think it's mostly just because Die Hard was literally my favorite movie for a long time.
It's a great movie.
I started watching it in high school, and I mean, for a solid 6 years, whenever I was like reading or studying or doing anything, I was watching Die Hard while I was doing it, and then I would occasionally flip to Die Hard 3, and even sometimes I would watch Die Hard 2. I'm not ashamed of it. If it's so bad that it's worse than 2, that's going to bum me out.
You know,
the level of that.
You know, I watched yesterday, which I was actually really surprised and like happy I watched, the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I didn't like the first. I didn't like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies at all. I felt they were really bad, but this one was like good. Like it's a good movie. It's really solid.
That's what I hear. I haven't actually watched it yet.
Even with Emma Stone in it.
Like the 15-year-old me is wanting to beat the crap out of me from having seen it. I haven't caught it yet. I'm gonna probably catch it.
And I have no idea how accurate it is to the comic books or anything. But I enjoyed. This isn't spoiling anything. Like. For you, when you see it, he's got like a web shooting device instead of it coming from his body. He's got which I like. That's cool.
Oh, that's
It's innovative.
I totally don't know that that's how it was in the original 1963 comic book, and that was a major change that really upset a lot of fans. I totally didn't know that. That's
there you go.
That's the case. I gotta get out of this conversation
There you go. You told me that that's apparently how it was, and now I don't need 15 nerds tweeting me saying, "Hey, how did you not know this?"
Yeah, exactly. I will be that nerd for you.
Thank you.
Thunder Knicks tonight.
I'm actually excited about this.
Yeah, I did 4-point play on Oklahoma City's pick and roll versus the Knicks pick and roll defense.
Yeah.
The Knicks are 28th in pick and roll defense on the ball handler, and they're like 20th versus the man.
That's not good.
And watching it, it's... You see, like, a pattern. Because sometimes you'll watch the video and you'll say, oh, well, they just, a bunch of guys had really hot games against them, or it's low possessions, or, well, they do pretty well, they just need to tweak a few things. And with New York, you're just like, where is everyone? Where are you? Like, there's these giant gaps in the lane. And then poor Tyson Chandler, like, you literally see Tyson Chandler, he'll step up on the switch when the guy hits the elbow for the jumper.
Right.
And you can tell when he gets that dribble hesitation point, Chandler's like looking back over his shoulder, waiting to see who's not going to be where he needs to be.
Exactly.
And so poor Tyson, and then by the time that Tyson figures out, oh no, I've got to guard this, whoever has already taken the jumper, that's going to be a lot of Westbrook tonight.
That's the thing, is like Tyson's still been a great defender this year. Like he's not really that far below what he was last year. It's just the team around him defensively is horrendous.
That's largely the biggest part of it. Melo, I think is probably game time. We'll see if he plays. I actually think that Westbrook might end up having a bigger game than Durant, because I feel like Westbrook needs it. Westbrook needs that. He needs the MSG game.
Yeah, I could see that.
Westbrook needs the, I would love to see him drop like a 35-point, 15-assist, 7-rebound game.
I'm guaranteeing he goes for 58.
Guaranteed. What's the line on this sucker?
I'm going to guess Thunder by 4.5.
It's 7.
Wow.
It's 7. That's the Melo effect.
Yeah, Melo. Is Melo not playing?
I think it's a game time decision.
Yeah.
I bet they'll hold him out. He doesn't usually play when he's banged up.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's always banged up, and he's a very tough player, yada, yada, yada. If there's a reported injury,
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between banged up and, like, trying to monitor a knee injury.
Yeah, it's like, you don't want to screw around with it. I wouldn't blame either. I don't think it's not like they don't need that. It's not a conference game. I wouldn't.
Exactly.
I wouldn't worry about it. Honestly, I feel like the Heat win on Sunday was kind of like that slammed the door on their one seed hopes. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the Knicks don't think they can win in Indiana. Right. So, and then the late game.
Clippers Nuggets and Clippers on a back to back.
Yep, LA and the dreaded back to back versus the Nuggets in Denver.
That's I feel like that's gonna be fine. Denver probably wins this game just for the simple fact that then Nuggets fans will be like, "See, you don't think we can beat the Clippers in a first round series or in a second round series?"
And then Nuggets by 4.5 is the line,
and that's gonna be an annoying conversation for me to have. That's why I think the Nuggets win this game.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't prove anything, but I do. I feel weird not giving a playoff team any credit for having good success against the good teams in the regular season.
I just don't think it means anything. It's nice for what it is in the regular season. I rarely think that has a big impact.
So like this is the same as like the Wizards winning
for the Clippers, probably.
Oh.
It's just the fact that the regular season is very random in terms of when you catch teams. Whereas in the playoffs, you are only playing that team and you get time to adjust game to game. Like, that's just how it is. And not that they don't scout and don't game plan in the regular season, but it's just different.
That's true. I mean, we have to factor in the...
That's just why I don't put a lot of stock into regular season matchup records because it's just different. It's a completely different way of playing a team.
I hear you. We have to factor in the tactical brilliance of Vinny Del Negro in the playoffs. I mean, I get where you're coming from there.
I get the sarcasm there. Chris Paul probably has a little bit to do with that. Just a little bit. I mean, I know the wonder that is Ty Lawson is going to overwhelm him and take away all of Chris Paul's powers. I get that against the best point guard in the world. It zaps his powers. But I for some reason, I got a little bit of hope that Chris Paul will make adjustments in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. It is just striking how little you think of this Denver team. I mean, it's not that I don't necessarily think. It's like, I do think that the effect of people thinking that they're good has worn on you.
No, this is nothing. If we were talking Brooklyn-Miami right now, or Chicago-Boston in regular season, I would have the exact same take. It doesn't matter to me. Like, the games are the games, and it helps seeding and whatever, but when you throw it to the postseason, it's just different. Like, regular season record doesn't matter to me.
The Thunder wins over the Clippers mean anything?
Not really. I mean, I think the Thunder are the best team in the West. So
that's based off of their total performance.
Right. But if the Clippers were even if the Thunder were 4-0 in the regular season against the Clippers, I wouldn't think, oh, Clippers have no chance in this playoff series. Like, look how the Thunder handled them.
Okay.
And it's not a Nuggets thing. Like, I mean, the way the Nuggets are talked about heightens it a little bit. And not the fact that people think they're good. It's that these are always the arguments for the Nuggets. It's like, well, in the regular season, they did this. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, and we'll probably have a very long conversation about this with you on the radio, Denver fans do not feel that way. The ones on Twitter may get at you. I literally have to tell Denver fans constantly that they're being too harsh on this team.
Well, they just don't like anything.
No, they like the Broncos.
That's true. They do like the Broncos. Like,
they want the Nuggets to go out and sign Peyton Manning.
And occasionally they like the Rockies. Very rarely.
Occasionally, it depends. Yeah. Good stuff. I genuinely hope you feel better. You've got some days off. We'll probably do a quick podcast tomorrow, depending on how you're feeling.
Yeah, no, I'll probably be dead tomorrow, but I'll still talk.
Yeah. Get some rest, feel better, and we'll be back at it tomorrow.
And have fun with your 13-hour excursion into Denver.
I will. I'm gonna pack a backpack and a lunchbox and a thermos.
I've seen Into the Wild. Just don't eat any berries.
There's like some sort of Shaka from Land of the Lost joke I want to make.
I really wish I could just name this title "Don't Eat Any Berries," but
don't eat any berries.
But I can't.
Once again, our editors were not
right.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, everyone.